The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. All comments, views, and opinions expressed on this show are solely those of Valerie, her guests, and callers. Now here's your host, Valerie Kirkgaard.
I am your host. I am Valerie Kirkgaard, and the reason they put that disclaimer on is because we just get so wild and wonderful sometimes, and so do some of the other hosts. So I appreciate very much that Rick Kepler put together this radio network and that he gives us the freedom that he gives us because he likes the work that we do. So here's the thanks to you, Rick, for what you put together there. You are actually listening to Waking Up in America, Dynamic Radio Dialogues on Issues That Matter. 2010 is actually going to be our 23rd year, and Gail Ellen, who you'll hear on the show today, actually found me about that many years ago when I was doing radio out of Redondo Beach, California on KFOX. So Gail's been in the background and been a support now for 23 years. Gail, you're hot. Thank you.
Thank you.
You want to ask a question while we're on the air? You can actually send me an email at Val, V-A-L, at wakingupinamerica.com. And what we'll do is we'll actually read your email on the air if we have time, okay, or if it's appropriate. So once again, question, comment, send an email to Val at wakingupinamerica.com. And to get things started off with, I'm very much into what our lives were like before 1871, and you can check on the first Monday of each month we do maritime law. And prior to 1871, we were actually sovereigns who pledged allegiance to a republic. And now we are in a democracy, and that's a whole different thing. So I like to start off the shows with the pledge that our forefathers gave us, which put your hand over your heart. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic, underline republic, for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I'm Dr. Val Kirkgaard, and in 1984 I was an Olympic torchbearer, and changes you forever when you sign up for something like that, I'll tell you. And I invite you actually to light your torch and join the standards held forth by the all bearers of that 2,000-year-old flame. And those standards are actually, they're called Citius Altius Fortius. That's what's actually on my torch. And what it means is swifter, higher, stronger. And I keep that torch around me so that I can pull forth the best out of myself. And that's what Waking Up in America is all about. Our guests actually reflect these values and come from all fields, from Congressman Dennis Kucinich to Senator Ellen Cranston to John Denver and Willie Nelson and to the internationally known nutritionist J.J. Virgin to Taekwondo champion Mary Louise Zeller. Wayne Dyer and the very solar Mr. Larry Hagman are but a few of the really great human beings that have been here on Waking Up in America. Bob Sercosta of the Home Shopping Network, and by the way, he started those things, says that we're doing radio which will change the world. So one of the ways I can see that happening is by you letting your friends know about us. And you can visit our website and sign up for our newsletter. If you happen to hear a phone ringing or a dog barking or an angel singing, know that we call in from our homes and offices all over the world to cause this program. Today we're on the air with Kathy Conheim. You're LCSW, aren't you, Kathy?
Yes.
Yeah, LCSW and Dr. Alice Villalobos, which the moment I heard that name, I just got totally intrigued. It actually means House of the Wolves, doesn't it, Alice? Or Dr. Alice?
Yes, it does.
Is that an old family name?
Yeah, yes, it is. It's either village or house or way of the wolves.
Uh-huh. Well, I think wolves to be pretty smart creatures. And today we have an original listener to Waking Up in America who has been staunchly a stand for beauty and the arts in the background, and she's a diplomat extraordinaire, she coached me on etiquette and protocol and all of that good stuff, and She actually worked with a lot of great people in 1984 to put together the Olympic Games here in Los Angeles, and any of you who know anything about that know that that game, those games were run extremely smoothly. Alice, I have to tell you, Dr. Alice, I took my dog over to you because I was at my wit's end, and the moment I met you, I just thought you were so entirely cool. And Gail had given me that referral. And Connie, I tell you, when I saw the little book that you had written with Henry, the three-legged cat on the cover, I went, these two go together somehow. So that's why I put on this radio show today, because I consider this radio show a Christmas gift to our listeners. And I titled this show, Cats and Dogs, Touching the Heart and Soul in Each of Us. And if you knew, Dr. Alice, you're actually an animal oncologist, right?
That's right.
Would you tell our listeners what that is?
Well, all my career, all my life, after, you know, during veterinary school and after veterinary school, I have declared war on cancer, which is the biggest, most fearful disease that takes our pets away from us, especially our senior pets. And they do get cancer pretty much the same way people do, except pets do not smoke cigarettes.
I was going to say they don't smoke and they don't drink, so what are they getting it from?
Yeah, they get cancer just from aging. As we age, generally we get our immune system is suppressed, and we start to, you know, kind of have our genes don't seem to repair the mutations and the genetic accidents that happen, and we don't seem to suppress tumors like we do when we're young.
Okay, so you'd say then cancer is a breakdown of the immune system, and in humans we help it along with alcohol and drugs and cigarettes.
And also, that's lifestyle, of course. Obesity is also contributes to cancer and late detection of it, but also environmental pollutants, you know, not only just cigarettes, but, you know, we are living in an environment that has chemicals and sun. You know, we have dogs and cats that get skin cancer just the way people do when they're out in the sun.
Well, I'm actually going to I tried to get the gentleman for the show today, John Allen, is making nanotechnology for pets that raises their frequency. He's also making it for humans, and I happen to be wearing one of those. So we can talk more about that, but I want to make sure at some point that both of you get introduced to John Allen. He's iHealth Products, and I'm extremely impressed with the guy. He was on the show a couple of weeks ago, and I think he's an outstanding conversation, and I've been wearing one of these. I've got Raven, my Labrador, Alice, on one of these. She's wearing a little paw heart around her neck, and I noticed that she's getting up more easily. You recall her legs were collapsing. So, also, I'm looking here. Connie, I've got right in front of me this little book that has the three-legged cat on it. Would you tell us about Henry?
Yeah. Henry is a three-legged cat that was rescued after the fires in Julian, which were the worst California fires, the Cedar fires that California had ever seen. It was a 60-mile fire. I have a mountain home up in Julian, and it was one of three or five homes that were saved in a mile. So we housed many people, and one of them asked if their daughter could have a cat, and I'm a devoted dog-only person, never had a cat in my life. But I felt so bad for her, and I said, sure, that can be a cat. And I didn't know they come in fours, so kitty, 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 and kitty arrived. And the next week, there was only three kitties, and I asked the little girl where the fourth one was, and she said, I think he hurt his paw. And there began a journey. His paw was dangling uselessly from his shoulder, and even though I didn't like cats, I'm a great animal lover, so I rushed him to the vet, and he just sat there purring, and the vet said, good news is, very strong little kitten, bad news is, you have to have an amputation. And he can't ever be an outdoor cat. And I just looked stunned because I have a dog and didn't like cats. So there began a journey of how Henry, the three-legged cat, came into our lives.
Hence the beginning of the spiritual journey as well.
The beginning of all journeys. And it's sort of evolved into a project where we're using the innocent voices of animals, inviting people to share their stories and turn obstacles into opportunities and develop the emotional vocabulary for improved health.
No,
I sent 20 people Henry's story of what it was like to drop in from the woods into this house. And I have now answered almost 40,000 letters for him.
Oh, my God.
So Henry has become an icon for healing. He has become an icon for resilience, for beating the odds. And he teaches us that we're not defined by our circumstances and that each one of us is capable of contribution and of creativity and of courage to be whoever we are.
So
he tried to get a name. He wanted the initials because everybody else in this house had initials. So he tried Sir Henry, and he tried Esquire, and he tried all this. And finally he said, I'm just me. So he is JM, Henry, just me. And the project is the Just Me Project.
Oh, that's very cute. Now, you got that message, I'm sure, from communicating with Henry. Now, Alice, while you're listening to all of this, and I'm sure you have your experiences, Gail, I wanted you to come in here and see if there's anything that you would like to say in relationship to what we've been talking about.
Well, I do, Val, and, you know, this is the Christmas holidays, and this is Christmas, and what it's really about is kindness. And I want to say that both Kathy and Dr. Alice, I think, are foremost authorities in those areas of reflecting kindness. I met Dr. Alice because my daughter's little dog, Nico, had severe cancer, and it was aggressive, and it took her little legs down. She had totally collapsed.
Oh, my gosh.
Excuse me.
Yeah, I guess you still have the feelings about it.
And
you go, Gail.
Funny.
No, I'm telling you, this is the way I feel about all of this. Makes me cry too.
Yeah, and I just want to say that Dr. Alice's heart was so large.
Thank you, dear. It's certainly my nature to reach out and help the pain and the sadness when a loved pet is sick and has a disease as nasty as cancer. And I do approach the disease with optimism, but with reality. And it's really important for all of us to just pull together and to try to find the most quality of life, the best quality of life for the pet.
And that was the thing. You helped us with the reality and the quality of life, and the truth was that it truly was a miracle.
Like that 6 months more, wasn't it, Gail?
Yeah, about 6 months more, and it was absolutely, we were helped by you to give her the best quality of life, but more than that, just to really handle the reality of what it was, and it truly was a blessing. And we ultimately, of course, had to put her down because it was extremely aggressive. And it was the sweetest, sweetest, sweetest experience.
And that's the way it should be. In my heart and soul, we feel, you know, I feel personally that every pet's departure should be peaceful and painless.
Yeah.
And if a pet can pass peacefully and painlessly, that is the best gift we can give them in the gift of euthanasia when the time is right, you know, that we usually let the pet make those decisions with our evaluation of quality of life. And we have a scale. A lot of people need to have just sort of a little tool to evaluate the quality of life for a pet that is sick with a terminal disease or a disease that is sort of sliding them down. Sometimes it's such a slow slide, you don't know when quality of life really changes to the point where the pet rather be just, you know, lifted off. And so,
yeah, well, I have to tell you, Kathy, my dog Raven was falling down all the time and not able to control her bowels. And so about one or two times a day there were feces and stuff all over the house, and I was sitting up really late one night, and we have another little precious creature by the name of Mayo, and Mayo and Raven were at my feet, and I was thinking that this was going to be the week that I was going to probably have to put Raven down because she could, you know, she was just having a hard time getting around. And I sat there, and finally I said, okay, sweetie, we'll do it this week. Now, this is one of the strangest things that ever happened in my whole life, but it's true. Raven has a habit of farting, and it's the last couple of years, and it's quite smelly. I have never heard male fart in the 7 years that I've had him. So when I heard a fart that sounded like, "No, you won't," I was totally amazed, and I looked over the bed, and it was male looking at me, telling me that I wasn't going to put Raven down now, that there was more things to do. But it came out like, "No, you won't," and I was, like, stunned, and then I laughed, and I thought, okay, if this is how the message is delivered, this is how the message is delivered. I called Gail. She told me about Dr. Alice. I put Raven on a product called Max GXL, which is a glutathione accelerator, which helps reestablish the cells. I put it in her dog food. I talked to John Allen of the iHealth products, and I got this little disc that she wears around her neck with a paw in it. And Raven went out for a walk with me this morning, and in the last month, she's only had 3 errors in the house.
That's great.
So
one of the things that you all are alluding to is that illness, chronic illness of any sort, changes the aspects of life and living for all the affected family.
Yes, it does.
And that we know that social and emotional learning and support are what is critical to resilience. One of the things that happened in our household when we got Henry is the privileged dog Dolly, who was an only dog, turned into quite a needy dog because suddenly she had to share her world with a cat.
Uh-huh.
And Dolly's book that came out 3 or 4 years later is called What About Me? I'm Here Too.
Is that
and
the one with the poodle?
What happens is there are 9.4 million chronically ill children in this country, and think how many chronically ill animals there are. And in each of those families, when you have somebody chronically ill, many of the other siblings or family members become invisible because chronic illness becomes so figural that that's where the attention goes. But when people who once had a treasured status, kids or pets, are no longer figural, you have all sorts of different behavioral problems and illnesses because what they learn is there's no secondary gain for being invisible. So they try to find a way to be visible. So Dolly's book was written to reach out to that level of invisibility of all of us. There's nobody, I think, that hasn't said, "Hey, what about me? I'm here too." But certainly chronic illnesses challenge that. And it challenges it in marriages when somebody's more attached to one of the animals that's sick and they feel left out. That animal for maybe 6 months, a year, or 2 years is getting all the attention. I've had clients say, "Could I apply to be your dog?" You know, I really would rather have that place in the bed.
So I want to ask Dr. Ellis a question here. Well, not actually a question. Do you remember saying to me when I brought Raven in that she wouldn't leave until I was ready to have her leave?
Oh, yes. Oh,
now,
yes.
If you could tell our listeners, see, I think this all goes together, what we're talking about right now. And Gail, feel free to jump in at any time.
Yeah.
But I know we were also talking about the brain tumors, you know.
Right.
And we were also talking, when you said that to me, though, she won't, that's when I went out and I cried. I don't know if you remember, but I started crying.
I remember you were very, I would say, your feelings were very...
prevalent.
easy, you know, easy for me to understand. You know, our pets do allow us to sort of be free with our emotions and to cry harder. In fact, sometimes people are shocked when their pet passes away that they literally feel... more grief than they do when a relative, you know, who passes away, and they're puzzled by that. And I just think that it quite often pets remind us of just the pure ability to be sad. And then all of our other losses come involved. You know, I call it tears of the ages. We can just cry about all of our losses when our pets pass away. It just seems like they open the gates, the floodgates for us.
They open the floodgates because there are emotional partners. I don't know anybody from the president of a country down that doesn't talk to their pet in a different voice. And that voice is a voice of the heart. And pets become sort of our secret diaries that nobody can ever open. We tell our secrets to them. We share emotions with them. There's no such thing as being politically correct with them. And therefore, when you're open on that level, when they go, you sort of grieve in ways that we aren't allowed to in this culture. You know, you get two days off for grief and you're supposed to come back at work and be normal. Well, pets allow us to do it differently and therefore allow us to get better human health because they let us release emotions.
Now, Dr. Ellis, how old were you when you started getting into veterinary medicine?
Oh, I was actually probably just in the second grade when I decided I was going to be a veterinarian. I had a little stray dog I picked up, and he was itching like crazy. His skin was bright red, and I begged my mom to let me take him to see a doctor, and they scraped a bug off of his skin and showed it to me under the microscope, and it was this ugly, horrible creature, and now I know it's a mite. And the doctor said, I asked him how much would it cost to treat him, and the doctor said $30, and I just knew that was impossible as a little kid in a family of five kids with my dad working in a factory. And my mother the next day, when I went to school, she probably took him to the pound, because when I got home, he was no longer there. And I vowed at that moment, when the doctor took his glasses off after he showed me the bug and told me it was $30, my anger and my, you know, my desire was just coming out of my heart. And I just said, one day I'm going to be this person, this doctor who can take care of my own pets. That was it.
Hmm. And, Kathy, you started, when did you start getting interested in being a psychotherapist?
Well, I didn't have a title for it, but all my life, that seems to be the only thing I really know how to do well. And But since I was a kid, I grew up in a moderately dysfunctional family, and we talked through the animal. The animal was sort of the safe one that we could say, you know, Dusty wants you to come to dinner, or Dusty thinks you want to do that. And it was always once removed. So here I am at 65 being the voice of a three-legged cat and a poodle whose nose is pushed out of joint. And it feels like a sort of coming home. I started out when I was a child talking through animals. And I think that's how it works, that it's that innocent voice of a child's life.
No, I actually interviewed a poodle on the air. It's not a poodle. His name is Genevieve. I don't know. There's a French name, and I can't think of it, but this author had written a book years ago. It was like 5 or 6 years ago I interviewed him, and it was just absolutely terrific. So the man was the voice of the dog. And
well, it gives a different, it's amazing to me with, you know, 40,000 letters, how much people anthropomorphize Henry and Dolly and Tink, and they become their sort of therapeut. They become safe. Some of them have written 300 and 400 times to Henry.
Well, when you talk about the fact that this creature is always there, is looking for you, comes to you. I have two cats. And what kind of pets do you have, Alice?
Oh, I have a menagerie. I have two big macaws, a scarlet macaw and a blue and bill macaw, and I have a African tortoise. I also have a old English bulldog that's about 86 pounds. And I have three kitties.
Oh, my goodness.
Do you have a partridge and a pear tree?
I'm sure she does.
Two Aussie cats, and then one is a kitty cat that I, out of 10,800 kitty cats and other critters that my nonprofit organization, the Peter Zippy Fund for Animals,
would you say that again a little bit more slowly so people can catch it?
I actually founded a nonprofit organization in 1977 called the Peter Zippy Fund for Animals.
And that's Zippy?
Peter Zippy, Zippi.
Oh, okay, got it.
Peter used to work for me. He wanted to be a veterinarian. He was killed in a plane crash, and I owed him a month's salary, and I put it in the bank because his parents didn't want the money. And I put it in the bank, and his name and other people contributed, and we now have 50 people in the volunteer club, and we've adopted out and helped and sheltered 10,800 critters so far. Well, out of that 10,800, I have a little one called Fern, a little kitty cat that had five kittens under the ferns, and she is the best cat I've ever had. Of all the other kitties I've raised.
Well, when you get picked out of one of 10,000, you have to.
Hey, I tell you. Oh. Listen, we're going to be taking a break right now.
Yeah.
And you're listening to Waking Up in the Air America. I'm on the air with Kathy Conheim, with Dr. Alice Villalobos, and Gail Ellen. So let's go to Diamond Alignment.
We live in a world that is more alive with possibility than ever before in history. Yet it is easy to get lost in the confusion and chaos of such an accelerated world. How do we stay connected and aligned with the unlimited potential that lies within us and soar in these exciting yet challenging times. Diamond Alignment, a sacred technology for the 21st century, offers high-speed connection and alignment with this divine power within, both convenient and profound. The 6-minute multi-sensory diamond experience delivered via the internet clears your mind, relaxes your body, and creates inner peace no matter what is going on around you. The Diamond Alignment experience effortlessly keeps you charged with joy and equanimity and greater focus and clarity throughout your day. When you experience the expansive energy of Diamond Alignment, you activate the unlimited wealth and potential within you.
Jacqueline Joy has found a way to take divine transmissions and channel them through a computer. And that's what you're hearing here. Now, if you go to our website at wakingupinamerica.com, you will see today's guest. Oh, by the way, you'll see last week's guest, too. So, and that was John Allen that I was talking to you about earlier. If you go over to the website, you will see Cats, Dogs, Touching the Heart and Soul of Each of Us, and you'll see a little rundown from Gail and myself. Then as you scroll down the page, you'll actually see President Obama walking his dog, and they're both walking on, he's walking on water and the dog's walking in the water. And if you go below that, you'll see one of the most decorated combat veterans in U.S. American history, but you'll never hear his name, talking about the wars and how they're not real. Next to that, you'll see testimonials about what people have said in the past on Waking Up in America. And the one I'm calling your attention to particularly is the one that's the animalrescuesite.com with a little doggy there. If you click on that, you'll actually be taken over to this website, and the website is the Animal Rescue Site. And when you click here to give, and it's free, donors actually match your click, and animals are contributed to in the way of food and care. So make that aware of yourself. And also, Dr. Alice, if you would email me with your actual website. I put something different on because I had, where did I put for you? I put abrionline.org because that's where I found your information. So,
It would be www.pospice.com. That's PAWSPICE. And it rhymes with hospice. Okay, that's
right.
So,
and then, Catherine, we have your site as henrysworld.org.
Yes.
Okay, so I like that.
All of Henry's products, penny of the profit goes to animals.
No, that's terrific. And so if you do the animalrescue.com, we've had that on there for a while, and below that we've got a little girl who's pouting because I want you to Google cancer cures, because as we're talking with Dr. Alice today, things that were death sentences years ago are no longer death sentences. And I think that's really important to know. But if we were operating out of an old place, they're death sentences. And then if you go over and you take a look, you'll see on the left, you'll see in the center, you'll see sign up for our newsletter, and that's where you go. Over to the left, you're going to see the Race for the Rainforest. And I actually click into that, so it's actually mine. But when you get in there, it'll actually give you the chance to sign up for it. Once again, you do a click, just like you do on the animal rescue thing, and it says, you save 7 square feet of rainforest today. Come back tomorrow. And today, together, we've saved 8,432.8 acres of rainforest. I mean, that's amazing. So this has been happening for many years now, and you have other choices. So hop over there and see what you can do. None of these things are going to cost you anything, okay? Now, what I especially like, as I said, you keep going down and you're going to find out who the sponsors of our program are. First thing you're going to see is Visiting Mexico. And by the way, the pigs didn't start the swine flu, and Mexico didn't start it. It was all a big scam to sell what do you call it, vaccinations. It's just the more you get into this, the more disgusting it gets. So Mexico is a really good safe place today to go, and because of all the bad press they got, the peso is now 15 to the dollar, so you can actually go down there and have more money than you have here. Diamond Alignment is right next to that. If you go click on that, you'll find out about how to sign up for Diamond Alignment and have it on your computer. And what I do a lot of times is I click on this, and I made a deal with Joy that she would allow it to be continuous sound. So she does. So if you click on that site, once again, that's free, you're going to actually be able to have continuous sound. Okay, and that's the beautiful part of that one. Want to go to Roberto's Bungalows? Actually call Steve and Diana at Roberto's Bungalows, and the telephone number, there's no toll on this, is 971-239-4120. That's 971-239-4120. You'll love these people. They're just absolutely wonderful. Under that, if you're in the Los Angeles area or the California area, the whole person calendar, and they're always, Monty Ferris and Connie Kadura do a really good job here, and they're always putting out good stuff. So you click on that, and that's a live link to them. At the bottom of the page, we have Dennis Weaver was, for many years, a friend of Waking Up in America. In fact, he handed over the Institute of Ecolonomics to Peter on this particular program right around Christmas, actually, a couple years ago. And Dennis is not with us now, but Ecolonomics still is. So you can go to ecolonomics.org, and Scott's a really amazing guy, and he's making a huge difference, and anything you want to do to help, it's good. I do a process called directed breath, and directed breath is a really powerful way to clear the emotional body, and you can click on directed breath and find out more of that. Also, I manufacture Chinese and Egyptian ear cones for improving your sinus, hearing, all kinds of things. Click on imagine, and you'll find that. Willie Nelson, we had a lot of fun with Willie when he was on Waking Up in America, and he gave us all tickets to the Hollywood Bowl. He also gave us permission to use his song, Whatever Happened to Peace. So you can click on that and hear Willie go. And just thank people for supporting us and helping us out all these years. Once again, we're on the air with Kathy Conheim, psychotherapist and author of What's the Matter with Henry. We're on the air with Gail Ellen, outrageously good at protocol and top-notch conversations and helping me put guests together, and she's been doing that for years. And we're on the line with Dr. Alice Villalobos, I could start crying with how I finally felt relief when I talked to you about my dog, okay? So
I certainly understand that, and I wanted to just say, you know, what I, to your listeners, that I personally feel that all pets come to us with a mission, and only, it's a very personal mission, and only you know what that mission is, and they will not leave until the mission is accomplished.
And that's when
and
I started to cry.
That's what I wanted you to know.
Right, because my mission wasn't over, and my dog was leaving. I thought my dog was leaving. I mean, the decision to put your dog down is probably one of the greatest decisions of your life. So for me to sit there and go, well, I guess this is it. I'll take care of it, Raven. I'm so sorry. I've loved you so much. And then to have the dog go, no, you won't. That has got to be one of the most spiritual experiences of my life.
Well,
now,
here's another I'd like to let your listeners know, and that is that, pets are here with us, you know, for the finite period of their lifetime. And Americans just kind of don't understand the cycle of life and death. And so often when a pet dies, it's kind of an unacceptable thing. People feel abandoned. But if I could help just one person who's listening today to understand that pets are part of our bigger life, we're going to live to be 100 years old, and they're designed for about 10 years, maybe more, maybe a little more. And if we accept the plan and understand it's part of a cycle, then we know we can renew and then also look for a new attachment and continue to live and survive and be happy in present time and enjoy the many generations of pets that we will meet. And there's just one little quote I heard about, I don't think I'm going to live long enough to meet all the dogs I want to meet.
That's beautiful. Gail, did you ever watch The Closer? Did any of you watch The Closer?
No.
I love Kira Sedgwick in The Closer. She's the head of Hollywood Homicide, okay? Special Investigations or something like that. And she's just recently, last season, married Fritz, the FBI agent, who's the calming force in the craziness of her life. And Kira Sedgwick does a marvelous job with this role. But the issue has been she had a kitty named Kitty. She never gave the cat a name, but Kitty was deteriorating and Kitty needed to go to the vets. And Fritz was willing to do that for her. And she wasn't going to let go of the cat, and she was going through all the things that you're describing, okay? So finally, Fritz takes Kitty to the vet. And they have a goodbye for Kitty and all this. It was a major part of the show. I was really delighted to see that level of caring and sensitivity. I like the way they commingle the personal and the professional in the show. But I thought, which was the funniest part and most relevant to what you guys were saying, was Fritz came home with a little kitten by the name of, and he calls the kitten Joel. And she was so attached to the old cat that she just couldn't stand the idea of starting with a new one. So it took a couple of episodes, but now she's got a little kitten named Joel. And if you get a chance to see the reruns on it, it's totally worth it for what you guys believe in.
Well, humans have a peculiarity to think that loyalty is to not get attached to a new animal or a new person when somebody dies, but real loyalty is to honor the intention of what animals and humans who have loved us are here to teach us, which is, if I've taught you anything about love, go pass it on to the next person.
Well, I think the thing you would have to teach about love would be the fact that sometimes loss hurts and you have to go on past that hurt.
Absolutely, but you end up having to accept your feelings. One of the ways to pass through it is not to repress it and hold it in, but to accept it, as Dr. Ellis is saying, as part of the life cycle, and that the love that you learn from your last animal will be gifted to some new animal, which will do the healing for you and get the love that you still have. That I know many people who said, I could never have another pet because I could never hurt that much again.
Yes.
Well, if you accept pain as just something you move through, then you get years and years and years and years of love, and you get some pain. And that's just a life cycle.
Dr. Ellis, I was wondering if you wanted to comment on that, and I was also curious whether or not, you know, what you had said to Gail and her daughter when you realized that, you know, her dog was in the condition that he was.
Well, I'd like to start out by just letting you know, I just got back from Japan. I was teaching for a week at the Nihon University Veterinary College, and there's 150 students per class, and they wanted me to teach the students plus the faculty and the graduate students on cancer, you know, care and immunology. And what I found was an amazing kind of grief that the Japanese people have. It's really prevalent in the culture. When their pet dies, they often do not get a new pet. They just grieve and remember and cry for years and years later. And I think it's really sad because the Japanese families, they all grow up knowing about their ancestors, and they know that people die, but it's amazing how they have a fixed kind of idea that when their pet dies, they won't have another pet again, because, again, they feel like they don't want to go through the grief and the sorrow of the loss. And so I spent quite a bit of time talking to the students, and they stayed after because they generally never talk about death of pets. And it was surprising to me that this is prevalent in the culture. And so I'm hoping that, you know, by talking about it openly today, that we can have more people understand the cycle of life and to celebrate the life of a pet the way we do with many of our relatives. You know, so often funerals, you go to a funeral now, and it's all about how wonderful that person was and how that person is still with us. But what's amazing about pet loss is that we are, you know, going to be able to just get our initiative up and go to a rescue center and sort of look for that spirit, that love spirit that we want. And generally within, you know, two or three or four trips to the shelters, we're going to find that, where you may not ever find another husband or, you know, another special friend that it was a human that passed away. God set it up so that we can literally, you know, go out and seek this cycle of being in the, I call it the human-animal bond. You know, we can jump back into that beautiful place where we have a pet that is so happy to see us when we get home. Because one of the slogans that the American Veterinary Medical Association had for National Pet Week was, pets make a house a home. When you come home and they are so happy to see you. And why would we want to live without that type of total treasure and total unconditional love? It really makes me sad to know that there's many broken hearts who remain broken because of just either a cultural or a philosophical stuck point. I mean, they get stuck in one spot instead of knowing that the cycle flows. So what do you think about that?
I think that's very interesting, and I was thinking actually about how I acted as an intermediary to a cat that was dying. And I was thinking about the spiritual side of all of this, too. But I must tell this story because it's one of the most unusual things that ever happened to me. My friend Catherine, she called me up one day, and she said Logo, a cat, had told her to call the redheaded woman, and at that time I was doing red hair. And she said, since you were the only redheaded woman, I knew I'm calling you because Logo wants to talk to you. And I said, and Logo told you that? And she said, yes. I said, fine, I'll be over. So I found Logo in the closet behind the brooms when I got there, and I was laying down on the floor, and I thought, just lie there and see what you pick up from the cat. And so I said to Catherine, she says she doesn't like the blonde who calls on the telephone, and please do not invite the blonde to any kind of closing ceremony you may have for me. I thought, that can't be what the cat said. I mean, no cat talks like that, right? But I decided that my role was an intermediator. And so I said to Catherine, I said, so Catherine, I gave her the spiel about what the cat has said. She said, are you kidding? I said, no, it's exactly what the cat said. She said, that's my sister. My sister called up one day and said that, you know, she just thought the cat was worthless or something about something that had happened. And I can't believe that she said that. So I told the cat. And the cat said that she had actually heard Catherine getting the message, and now he could go peaceably. Now, what are the odds of a conversation like that? And yet that's what happened.
They are odds. They really are channeling in some way.
The cat was dead within an hour or two after that communication.
The cat was done.
Yeah, the cat was finished. But it never crossed my mind before that, this is like 10 years ago, that a cat could function or communicate at that particular level.
Well, I think one of the important things in having shows like this and all of us talking is that storytelling really is the way we connect with one another and what's important to our lives. And for many people, as you tell the stories like that and the other stories we're talking about today, they give people permission to take ownership of their own story. Everybody's life deserves a book, and each of us should be a leading character in our own story. And all the animals of our lives have stories, and they have lessons to teach us. And the more we can validate talking about those things and reaching out to each other, we start to make a difference in all the hate and divisiveness that's going around in our world today. We end up having to start to tell our stories of healing and empowerment and love and unconditional love. And that makes a difference.
You know, Dr. Ellis, what would be your most remarkable story?
Oh boy, you know, my new practice, is called Pospice, and I'm a leader in the pet hospice philosophy where, you know, we want to help pets live as long as possible in good quality of life. Well, my first Pospice pet was a dog that was, a big black Newfoundland, and he lived up in Mammoth, and his parents and, you know, were head of the ski schools. And we had actually treated him for malignant melanoma a year before, and he did very, very well. And they rushed down from Mammoth with a belly full of fluid, and we did ultrasound and found that he was terminally ill from more cancer in his liver. And I thought that, you know, I suggested, I told him, well, maybe we should put him to sleep today, you know, because I think he's probably going to die at any time. And Jack, his name was Jack, the dad, Jack and Kathy Copeland. Jack said, no, I've got to take him to Mammoth because Kathy wants to be with him. So he said, what should I do in between? I said, well, you know, he really should have all the fun things he loves. Do everything he loves. So he took him back to Mammoth, and they know that he loved to go to, his name is Benson. He loved to go to Lake Mary and swim. And so they took him about twice a week generally. Well, they started taking him morning and evening. And 6 months later, I went up to ski at Mammoth, and they had a party for myself and Dr. Bob Mierhoff, who was a doctor that referred Benson to me the year before, and then the most recent visit for his cancer in his belly. And by golly, Benson was still with us. He was a lot thinner. And the family said, Alice, he's just having too much fun to die. So I have added, I call it the serum fun factors. And when people come in and their pet is dying, I always try to make sure that they look for some joy and try to make sure the pet is enjoying these last days of the journey. You know, and I do, you know, I treat cancer patients with everything that's in the book. I look at both sides of medicine, Eastern medicine and Western medicine, and I call my practice integrative cancer practice. And we are looking for quality of life. There are many treatments I will not do because I do not think the quality of life risk benefit ratio is right for the pet, especially the aged ones. My book is about my textbook is about geriatric pets having cancer and how to make decisions for them. And so, you know, this is pretty much my approach, and I think Benson was a patient. You know, we didn't treat him because we knew his cancer was incurable. And but what saved him for his hospice was joy. And I believe that we know in women breast cancer patients, those who get out and exercise and have more fun live longer. And so I really think our immune systems are potentiated by having joy and purpose and spirituality in our lives and for our pets. And so I just wanted to pass that along to you and to your listeners, to anyone who has a pet that's it's in the stages of being old. You know, if they're old, they should have some fun.
Love that, Dr. Allison. Actually, what we did was I actually hired a doggy massage therapist, and she came over, and she would massage Nico at night, and I would massage her in the morning for a long time, because she really couldn't move, and I tell you, she loved it. She looked forward to it, and she enjoyed it. Yeah, and then after the massage, I would give her a big beef bone, and I'm telling you, she loved it.
She was in doggy heaven, huh?
Yep.
Well, that's really funny that you were saying this, because while you were saying all of this, while we were all saying all of this, I was going, you know, everything we said applies to humans.
It does.
Everything we said.
And then some. You know, if you ask people, if you had a year to live, what would you be doing? Most people would say, well, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing now.
Yeah.
And the reality is none of us know how long we have to live.
Yeah.
So live each day as if it's your last and live it fully. And put in joy and love and all the emotions. And if they're sad, then be sad and express, accept your feelings. But don't put off life till I'm going to do it when I'm 70. It just doesn't work that well.
Well, guess what? I'm going to be 70 this year. I guess I'm ready.
I'm 55. I decided to not put it off a long time ago.
Okay, this is Dr. Alice. I'd like to just add, it is now proven in Medscape, you know, which is a medical journal that's online, and they have an article which I downloaded that shows that people who are at the end of life, you know, who are cancer patients generally, who are in touch with their spiritual side, and the doctors who acknowledge the spiritual side and refer a chaplain to the cancer patient, the human, that these patients generally have a better purpose. And that they seem to go into hospice with a lot of happiness, and they do not select aggressive, futile treatments. And, you know, we have a lot of problems with futile medicine, you know, non-beneficial medicine. And it's an extensive problem when people are still fighting their diagnosis and feeling that they have to battle something that's impossible in order for their families to to feel like they aren't giving up. But if they're in touch with their spiritual side, they basically kind of look at the big picture, and they're happier and more content, and often their hospice is a much more pleasant experience for everybody.
Well, I saw The Bucket List. Did anybody here see that movie?
Yeah.
Jack Nicholson.
It was great.
Yeah. Would you tell people a little bit about it?
You're asking Dr. Villalobos that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. The Bucket List was about a very powerful medical hospital director who was a snob, and he had made all these big cuts and cutbacks, and then suddenly he was diagnosed with cancer himself, and they put him through the system that he created. So his roommate, he had to share a room with a black man who was a simple, plain man. And of course the stars were, you guys are probably better in Hollywood than I am, but the stars were wonderful actors.
Morgan Freeman and Jack Nicholson.
That's it, yeah. So you put those two together and they both have terminal cancer. Well, there was a bucket list that, Jack Nicholson had, meaning that he wanted to do 10 things before he died. And he discovered that his best friend in the world turned out to be his roommate, the black simple man in his hospital room. So the two of them went together and accomplished all these fun things like jumping out of airplanes and, sailing and fishing and, just doing things that, everybody wants to do before they die. And, when Morgan Freeman came back to his family, he was a much better person. And he died first, and, Jack Nicholson spoke at his funeral, and nobody would have expected a powerful, big, wealthy executive to speak at this simple man's funeral, but he talked about him being his best friend, and then Jack Nicholson was actually reunited with his daughter and granddaughter because Morgan Freeman saw that there was a dysfunctional problem in his own in Jack's life. So it was terrific, and I think that the spiritual side of this movie about two men who had terminal illnesses was spectacular, and it was a comedy, but also a tearjerker at the same time.
Yeah, just a wonderful thing. And so when you think about it, as maybe today is the day, or maybe you start 2010 by saying, I'm going to do more of what I want to do and not all of what I should do. By the time you turn out and you're, I think maybe even some of us could do it before we're 70, hopefully, Kathy.
Oh, absolutely.
I want you to visit the wakingupinamerica.com website. Check us out again. This program has been brought to you by the Golden Hearts Foundation in association with Kirkgaard Media, our radio partners, KoningCompany.com, Mona V, Max GXL, Dr. James Murphy, In Memoriam. Thank you to the team at Voice of America and to Bent Miegen for our theme music you're listening to right now, Almost Ordinary People. You've been listening today to Kathy Conheim, Dr. Alice Villalobos, Gail Ellen, and Dr. Val Kirkgaard. Next week, invite a friend to listen. And remember, be alive and awake, be adventurous, and remember, Sitius, Altius, Fortius, swifter, higher, stronger. And until next week.
With extraordinary plans, almost ordinary people.
Thank you for joining us today for Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkgaard. Waking Up in America can be heard live every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time on voiceamerica.com, and Valerie welcomes all emails at heavenincorporated.com.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.